wide array of publications in the United States and abroad. He currently serves as a contributor to Epoch Times and foreign correspondent and senior editor for the New American Magazine. Alex is the author of several books and has been a guest on countless radio and television programs and is a much sought-after conference speaker. Alex is best known for his reporting and research that has exposed the dangers and agenda of globalism. As the father of five children, Alex is working to defend faith, family, and freedoms from the hostile philosophies and ideas that are contrary to the Bible and the United States Constitution. And now, here is your host, Alex Newman.
Welcome, everybody, to the Sentinel Report. I'm your host, Alex Newman. Thank you so much for joining us today. Obviously, I'm not in my home studio today. I'm in a better studio. I'm at the headquarters of the New American Magazine, sitting here in the awesome studio they have. And we got a great guest with us today. We're actually going to skip our news segment and just go straight into my guest. He just does so much good work. It's hard to kind of overstate how much he does. I don't know how he finds time to do it all as a young man and doing just great, great work for saving our country and for helping to preserve our freedom. But first, in honor of Pride Month, I've got another Bible verse about pride that I thought would be appropriate, especially in light of the love is love mantra. This comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it's in verse 4. It says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, and it is not proud. So, we'll just keep going through what the Bible has to say about pride, as long as we're on Pride Month. Pride is very, very dangerous. Also, folks, I do want to remind you that you can get some great deals on gold, and you can support the show at SentinelReportGold.com. That's SentinelReportGold.com. And folks, you can reign in wealth like King Charles with a gold IRA from Noble Gold Investments. Just as King Charles' magnificent gold crowns symbolize wealth and power, a gold IRA can fortify your own financial kingdom. Imagine the confidence that comes from a retirement backed by a tangible, proven asset like gold. And so, folks, just imagine the confidence that comes from a retirement backed by a tangible, proven asset like gold, an asset that's not at the mercy of unpredictable market swings. A crown may not be included, but isn't a future free of financial stress a worthy throne? So like royalty, you can enjoy the luxury of choice, gold, silver, platinum, palladium. The realm is yours to command. Fend off concerns about economic downturns. Reagan, that's the wrong image there. But fend off concerns about economic downturns and let your wealth thrive with the timeless security of precious metals. And this month, the first solid 1/4 of an ounce gold standard bullion coin ever issued with Charles III's image can be yours with your own qualifying gold IRA or 401k rollover of $50,000 or more. If you're watching us on TV, you see it right there on your screen. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold Investments. Call them up. Visit the website, SentinelReportGold.com. That's SentinelReportGold.com. Obviously, folks, there's always risk with any kind of investment, and there's never any guarantees of any kind. But if you go to SentinelReportGold.com, you can get some free reports, you get in touch, and no obligations whatsoever. Our guest today is a great young man. I've had the pleasure of knowing him for a few years, and the first time I met him, I was just blown away by how much he knew for such a young guy, still in his early 20s, I believe. His name is Peter Rykowski. He's a research associate at John Birch Society. He's also the editor of their bulletin. This is something that goes out to all the members where they kind of lay out the game plan for the chapters, for the members across the country to save America. Peter, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for all that you do.
Yeah, thank you, Alex. Really great to be on.
It's great to have you, Peter. And so you are very young. You're still in your 20s, and yet you know more, probably forgot more than most Americans know. How did you get so well educated, such a young guy?
Well, I was homeschooled through eighth grade. My parents were Christians who loved God, first and foremost, who loved the United States, who loved the Constitution, who loved freedom. And they wanted their kids, they wanted me to, you know, to have that knowledge. So they paid very close attention to, you know, educating me, giving me a good, solid Christian constitutionalist education, and you know, I'm very thankful to them for that. And really, they're the reason why I'm so I'm very passionate about politics, history, you know, just wanting to know the way things work and knowing what's actually going on behind the scenes. So I give them, you know, a great deal of credit.
Yeah, obviously they did a good job, and I've never met a homeschool family that did a bad job. But it's always such a joy to meet these young people who have had a legitimate education. Almost always, it seems like it's either coming out of a really good Christian school or a good homeschool. So thank you so much for joining us, Peter. Before we get into one of the things that I want to spend a lot of time on with you, you've really become an expert, maybe one of the leading experts on nullification. You sent me an email earlier today with a news article. So Chris Christie, not that anybody cares about Chris Christie, but Chris Christie just announced for president. And he decided a good strategy would be to throw the father of our country under the bus. We have the video. Reagan, let's roll that clip, and then we'll come back and discuss for just a moment.
Continent and America had followed the admonition of George Washington since its founding to stay out of foreign entanglements. Woodrow Wilson said no.
All right, so let's join the woke left and let's attack George Washington. Now, to be fair, Chris Christie has a habit of attacking patriots, constitutionalists. He attacked the John Birch Society not long ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what are your thoughts on Chris Christie, George Washington, and maybe for the folks out there who aren't familiar with George Washington's admonition to avoid entangling alliances? Maybe break that down for us, if you would, Peter.
Yeah. So in his farewell address, George Washington made very clear he was giving advice to the country for future generations to take heed. And, you know, his advice to this day is very sound. And he said, you know, our country, we need to stay out of foreign entanglement. We should not get involved in these foreign wars, foreign conflicts, treaties, international organizations, anything that will entangle us and threaten or compromise our national sovereignty. And, you know, and that's very sound advice. And we followed that advice until around World War I, for the most part, until Woodrow Wilson single-handedly brought us into the First World War, tried to get us into the League of Nations, thankfully failed. But yeah, now Chris Christie, what he's saying is, you know, we should completely reject George Washington's sound advice and follow Woodrow Wilson's globalist, you know, liberal, you know, foreign policy. And it's, you know, that, and not only that, he also, you know, said really good things about FDR, who once again pushed us into World War II, you know, and also the United Nations. So it's, you know, very revealing, completely rejecting the wisdom of the founding fathers and, you know, openly proclaiming that we have to follow an ultra globalist foreign policy. And, you know, it's very revealing. Chris Christie, as you mentioned, he's attacked the John Birch Society. He's said, you know, we need to reject JBS and follow respectable conservatism, like William Buckley. But then there's the question, what have these respectable conservatives actually conserved?
That's a good question.
You know, when they run the country, we continue to slide into leftism and globalism, maybe at a slightly slower pace.
With a little bit different rhetoric, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, but nonetheless, we're still going in the same direction. And, you know, that's what Chris Christie supports. And it's, you know, we, just for the sake of our country and for our freedom, we need to completely reject, you know, what Chris Christie is peddling.
Yeah, the poor guy, I almost feel sorry for him. He's kind of like a parody of himself. I doubt he'll get 3 votes in the election. I mean, even in New Jersey, it's just, yeah, poor guy. But, you know, by their fruit, ye shall know them. And it's so interesting that he gives shout out to Woodrow Wilson, the guy who brought us the Federal Reserve System. I mean, it's hard to think of an institution that has done more damage to our country than the Federal Reserve. And then FDR, of course, the guy from the, you know, the Great Society, and the government's going to take care of you. The most rapid expansion of the federal government in our history. I mean, half the federal agencies you can think of came from FDR's administration. Now, even forgetting foreign policy altogether. And of course, George Washington, a great man of God, a guy who put his life on the line, a guy who really laid the foundation for our country. Yeah, we're going to throw him under the bus. What did he know about foreign policy or anything else? I mean, give me a break, Chris Christie. Are you trying to destroy your presidential campaign before it even starts? I don't know. But yeah, it is what it is. Peter, I wanted to talk to you, especially today, about nullification. Because there are a lot of people in America, and I'm sure many of them are watching this program right now, who are really, really, really frustrated with Congress. And we'll talk about a wonderful tool that the New American Magazine produces that you help with to hold Congress accountable. But even bypassing Congress, there are tools that we have available to us as Americans that our founding fathers, great men like George Washington, built into the system. And the JBS has been at the forefront of pushing for nullification. Of course, we didn't invent nullification. It's been around. I mean, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison said it was the rightful remedy. But I think a lot of our viewers, a lot of Americans generally, are either totally unfamiliar with nullification, or all they've heard is some radical leftist like Chris Christie, or you know, some Democrat or some neocon saying that, well, we can't do nullification because Civil War, South Carolina, right? What is nullification? What are some of the historical examples of it being used, and kind of where did it come from? Where's this idea from?
Yeah. So nullification is a very, very important constitutional principle. And as it just implied, it comes directly from the U.S. Constitution. It's specifically in Article 6, which says, "This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, shall be the supreme law of the land." In pursuance thereof is the key phrase. Any law that is consistent with the U.S. Constitution is constitutional and should be obeyed. Any federal law that is not consistent with the U.S. Constitution is unconstitutional. And states and we the people do not have to obey those laws. And not only that, we have a duty to nullify those laws. So states have a very key role in this because, you know, under the 10th Amendment, any power that the federal government does not specifically have, it's reserved to the states and also to the people. The states have a key role in nullifying any unconstitutional federal edict or action and protecting we the people from the federal tyranny that has been going on for decades already. And, you know, it stretches back, you know, the founding fathers, they wrote about it. For example, Alexander Hamilton in Federalist Number 33, he said, "Any unconstitutional law will be merely acts of usurpation and will deserve to be treated as such."
And Alexander Hamilton, for perspective, he was like one of the most radical federal supremacists, the most radical big government guy. And even he is saying that if it's unconstitutional, we don't need to obey it. It's not a legitimate law.
Yeah.
And we had this early on in the history of our country. You know, it shows you how rapidly corrupt human beings can mess up great things like the Constitution. They passed the Alien and Sedition Act. Well, you can't criticize the government anymore. We're going to arrest you. And then we had James Madison, the father of our Constitution. We had Thomas Jefferson, the father of our Declaration of Independence. So two of the most instrumental individuals in the formation of our country. And they actually wrote extensively on this. And through the legislatures in Virginia and Kentucky, they actually adopted, they used this principle to protect the people of those states. Talk a little bit about the Virginia and the Kentucky resolution.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, the Congress passed the Alien Sedition Act. It placed severe restrictions on people's ability to speak freely. People couldn't criticize the federal government. If they criticized the federal government, they'd be thrown to prison. And this law was used really just to persecute political opponents of the
Joe Biden. Sorry, no. I guess history repeats itself, right?
No kidding. Yeah. So Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, they saw, you know, this is a tyrannical, unconstitutional law, and they wrote the Virginia and Kentucky resolutions. Jefferson wrote the Kentucky resolutions. Madison wrote the Virginia resolutions. Both state legislators passed them, and those resolutions affirmed that states have a duty to nullify any law that is unconstitutional, and they have a duty to stand between a tyrannical federal government and the citizens that they represent. And those resolutions were very, very important in, you know, simply raising awareness of the U.S. Constitution, the constitutional principles involved, and, you know, and giving support for the, you know, for the opposition to the laws, because, you know, when the federal government bans people from criticizing it, it becomes very difficult to actually, you know, find a route to attack this bill. So the Virginia and Kentucky resolutions gave people an avenue to, you know, eventually get the laws repealed.
Yep.
So it was very, very powerful that they did this. And, you know, we have to be very thankful for them for that. And eventually, as I mentioned, Congress eventually succumbed to that pressure and they repealed the laws. And You know, the Virginia and Kentucky resolutions are not the only early example of nullification. There's another very important example. In the 1850s, Congress passed the Fugitive Slave Act, which required northern states, counties, local governments to help southern slave owners return slaves who had escaped and gone north. And the states were required under federal law to help return and capture those slaves, which is unconstitutional. The 10th Amendment makes it very clear states don't have any...
Yeah, they can't commandeer our state and our local governments to force them to do things.
Yeah, yeah, and Congress has no authority over that.
And that's so radically different than the fake narrative that the fake media, and unfortunately even some misguided so-called conservatives and Republicans, oh, we can't use nullification, slavery. No, see, it was actually one of the things that South Carolina was complaining about was that all these northern states were refusing to participate in helping their slave owners catch slaves and send them back to the South. So really, the story is quite the opposite of what the fake media would want you to believe. In fact, nullification was a tool to undermine the institution of slavery and to undermine unconstitutional federal usurpations of power. We're going to go to break. When we get back, we'll talk more about nullification and how it can be applied in the modern context. In fact, it is being applied in the modern context. And folks, this is one of our most powerful tools. It doesn't matter what Congress is doing to implement nullification. If Congress is out of control and they're passing unconstitutional laws, yeah, you can pressure your congressman, and you should, but this is a tool that is quite independent of Congress that will protect the people of our state. In fact, we've got some recent examples just from the COVID tyranny. So stay with us. We'll be right back after these quick messages.
You're watching Lindell TV.
Most churches are silent about today's intense culture wars, leaving Christians alone and ill-equipped to stand in the battleground of ideas raging against us. That's why GTI Ministries has created a special bundle of new teaching tools to keep your family, friends, and church from being taken captive by a world at war with our God. We have reformatted our popular You Are What You Think textbook series to synchronize with our Thinking Like a Christian video series, enabling anyone to easily lead others through this life-changing curriculum. Our special bundle also includes new instructor guides for assisting the leader moment by moment, and which also contain discussion questions with answer keys. Go to gtimin.com and click the green banner at the top to receive your special bundle containing all these resources for only $119 for the DVD format or $99 for the streamed or thumb drive style. This series will thoroughly equip you and your family with the truth you need about the battle of ideas being waged against our families and our nation. Go to gtimin.com, click the green banner at the top. You'll be blessed.
Today's episode is brought to you by Freedom Project Academy. Looking for a K-12 classical online school built on Judeo-Christian values? FPA is enrolling now for the fall. Request your free information packet at freedomforschool.com. Don't forget to select Alex Newman under the How Did You Hear About Us section when you enroll. Again, that's freedomforschool.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm excited to announce my new product, My Coffee. I get products all the time from entrepreneurs for my new platform, mystore.com. And when I tried My Coffee for the first time, I was blown away. It is the best coffee I've ever had in my life. I spent the last 4 months doing my due diligence, and this family-owned business micromanages every step from the fields to the cup to ensure the best quality coffee you're ever going to have. It starts with the beans that are grown in Honduras. Honduras's volcanic soil and humid climate make the perfect growing conditions for coffee plants, which produce the best beans ever. Then each batch is tested for its aroma, taste, and other aspects to meet the highest standards in the coffee industry. And after that, it goes into production, which is all done right here in the USA. It's like you're getting that small batch specialty coffee, but delivered right to your front door. So go to mystore.com or call the number on your screen, use the promo code, and you'll get your very own My Coffee for 25% off. You guys all know that I've traveled the country for the past year and a half. I've stayed in hundreds of hotels. I've tried every coffee out there. Well, some of the coffees have that terrible aftertaste, some that leave me jittery, or I get an upset stomach. Well, My Coffee is different. It's the richest, smoothest, best coffee I've ever had. My Coffee comes in a variety of flavors. You get them ground or whole bean, plus it's certified organic and non-GMO. I guarantee it'll be the best coffee you've ever had. So go to mystore.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code and you'll get my coffee for 25% off. And I'm going to give you deep discounts on all my store products. That's mystore.com. It's my new platform for USA entrepreneurs. Please order now.
Welcome back to the Sentinel Report, everybody. I am your host, Alex Newman. Please go over to mystore.com. And actually, the deals are even better than that. If you sign up for the coffee subscription, you get 50% off when you use that promo code Newman. And I think you still even get like a free roll-up pillow. And I'll tell you what, that coffee is amazing. I just got a text the other day from a viewer like, man, thank you. That coffee is awesome. It is awesome. We drink it at my house. I love it. And you can support this show. Even if you don't need coffee, which I can't imagine not needing coffee, but if you don't need coffee, you can still support the Sentinel Report. You can get over to franksocial.com, which, by the way, is one of my top social media sites. I've got more followers on Frank Social than most other places, 30-something thousand. Great, great place. I post more than I do in most other places. And you can sponsor the Sentinel Report right there. Just follow me there. For $3 a month, you can help keep us on the air, help keep us doing what we're doing, bringing the truth to the American people 5 days a week, most of the time. And so we sure appreciate you folks. Now, we're still in the studio, and we're still with our very special guest, Peter Rykowski. And we're going to talk about this Freedom Index before we go. Peter is actually one of the guys who works on the Freedom Index. It is such a great tool. And before we finish today, I'm going to share it with you. Peter will tell us more about it. It's basically a report card for your member of Congress. But picking back up on nullification, Peter, and man, time flies. We've only got about 7 minutes. But what are some modern day examples of nullification being used, and how could conservatives put this legal doctrine, and of course, it's also a Christian principle. I mean, you read, for example, the Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates. We've had Pastor Matt Trujillo on this program showing how it's biblical, it's you know, church history. It's always been the correct thing to do to defy evil and lawless edicts from higher magistrates. That Christians and God's people have always been doing that. But in the modern context, Peter, what are some ways that nullification could be used or is being used to protect our liberties at the state level?
Yeah. There are a lot of ways that it's being used now, and even more ways that it could be used. So a really, very prominent example right now, very important example is gun control. States and even counties are taking action to nullify the federal government's various gun control laws. And even on the county level, they're nullifying tyrannical state laws. So, for example, about 15 states have declared themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries. And some of those laws that they've passed declaring themselves sanctuaries are very, very good laws that make it almost impossible to enforce any type of federal gun control in those states. So, for example, 2 years ago, Missouri passed a bill called the Second Amendment Preservation Act. And this bill nullifies almost every single type of federal gun control, including the 1934 and 1968 gun control laws. And any federal agent who goes into Missouri and tries to, take away people's firearms, tries to enforce gun control, they'll be prosecuted under Missouri law.
I love it.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. And even on the county levels, many counties have passed ordinances doing the same thing, nullifying the various federal gun control laws. And in fact, and even the various state laws. So just a few months ago in Illinois banned so-called assault rifles. The state legislator passed this law. And then right after that, about 90 county sheriffs said that they would not enforce Illinois' tyrannical law. And by the way, Illinois only has 102 counties. So almost every single sheriff said we're not going to enforce this law.
Praise the Lord. So basically you'll have it in Chicago, and even there is so corrupt. I mean, what a joke. But I think this is so important, guys. We should be focused on Congress, but we can stop a lot of this stuff at our state line, at the county line. In fact, Sheriff Mack, who's been on this program many times, a great American former sheriff, sued the Clinton regime all the way up to the Supreme Court and won. Got a precedent-setting case saying, no, the federal government cannot conscript sheriffs and state governments into doing their bidding. If they want to resist this stuff, not only can they should. They take their oath to the Constitution, not to the feds. And, every once in a while, you hear these liberal Republicans, these fake conservatives say, oh, we can't use nullification. We just have to have a constitutional convention or, pick your fake solution. And the reality is the liberals have actually become pretty good at this, too, right? We know that it kind of got kicked off in Colorado. They nullified the federal drug prohibition, the marijuana control. And I'm not here to suggest anybody should be smoking marijuana, but if the leftists can use nullification to nullify unconstitutional federal laws, Republicans and conservative states should be doing it as well. We're almost out of time. It passes so quickly, Peter. But I do want to ask you, one of the things that you work on here, Freedom Index. This is put out by the New American Magazine several times each Congress. And I've actually used it. Me and some friends, when I was in Florida, we used it to oust a liberal member of Congress masquerading as a Republican and to replace him with a great, great constitutionalist. Talk a little bit about the Freedom Index. And you guys are also now, this is a new thing you're working on, is the state level report cards for politicians. So talk a little bit about those tools in the last couple minutes we have left.
Yeah, definitely. So oftentimes when candidates run for office, you know, especially if they're on the Republican side of the aisle, they will campaign as being great conservatives who support limited government, you know, who support socially conservative values, et cetera, et cetera. But then when they get into Congress, they vote for these massive spending bills. They vote for the leftist woke legislation. Their voting record is completely different from their rhetoric. And the Freedom Index is a tool that we have that really shows the actual records of these state legislators and of these congressmen. So, you know, we rate these votes based on whether it's constitutional or whether it's unconstitutional. Federal spending, any federal involvement in education, healthcare, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a very powerful tool for separating the wheat from the chaff. For example, you know, in the media, you know, Kevin McCarthy is being touted as, you know, a great conservative, you know, Mitch McConnell, you know, Joe Manchin is being portrayed as being some centrist, but then you actually look at their scores. Joe Manchin is almost a 0%, and then Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy have very, very terrible scores. So it's a very good tool for simply showing people how these legislators are actually doing and getting beyond just their rhetoric and what they're saying in public.
Yeah, it is such an important tool. Anytime I'm you know, working on an article about a member of Congress or where a member of Congress comes up, I go to the Freedom Index and I try to see, you know, are they the real deal? And what you'll find is you can very quickly tell, you know, the guys that are up at the 100%, 90%, you've got like Senator Rand Paul, Congressman Thomas Massie, you know, you've got some rock solid constitutionalists that have been doing the right thing for many years. And then you've got the fake conservatives that on the campaign trail, man, they're so conservative, you don't know what to do with them. And then as soon as they get up to Congress, they just stick a knife in your back and they hope the voters never realize. So you can hold them accountable with that, folks. You can use that as a tool. You know, go to the town hall meetings and pass them out to people as they're coming in. Reagan, could you put the screenshot up there? You scroll through. If you go to thenewamerican.com, I serve, of course, as a senior editor at The New American. But if you go to thenewamerican.com and then /Freedom Index, or just click on the Freedom Index button. Reagan, if you could throw that up, that'd be great. You can kind of see on there, you can put in the name of any member of Congress. So you put in, for example, Mike Waltz, right? He's on Fox News all the time, supposedly Mr. Conservative. And you pull up his record, and he's got a 63%. Wow, maybe he's not quite as conservative as the fake media would like us to believe. So this is really a powerful tool. Final words, Peter, we are out of time, but final words, final thoughts. What do you want to encourage folks to do?
Yeah, well, saving the Constitution and protecting our constitutional republic, it begins with us taking action. You know, we will not save our country by sitting on the couch and waiting for some politician or some leader to do something. It begins with us taking action, you know, going to town hall meetings, simply going out and educating people about the founding fathers, about the Constitution, the principles upon which this country was founded. And we provide tools to help people do this. Freedom Index, both for Congress, state legislators, and so many other tools that the John Birch Society and the New American provide. So, you know, we highly encourage everyone to go to jbs.org, thenewamerican.com, and get involved.
Fantastic. Peter, it's an honor to have you on the program. Thank you for all the great work you're doing. You are a great American, and we so appreciate you. Alrighty, folks, the time always runs out so quickly, but I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to encourage you, get over to mystore.com or mypillow.com, use that promo code Newman. If you're watching us on Lindell TV, stay tuned. If you're watching us live, Roger Stone's going to be up in just a moment, the great Roger Stone. Roger Stone and I will both be on June 17th. We're going to be in Leesburg, Florida with General Flynn and some others at the Teenage Republicans. I'll tell you more about it when we get closer, but if you're anywhere near Central Florida, be preparing to get there. God willing, we shall be with you again tomorrow. Until then, thanks for watching, and God bless you all.
You're watching Lindell TV.
In today's modern world, knowing what you put in your body is crucial for maintaining optimal overall health. Many conventional health products claim to be good for you, but they may be contaminated with heavy metals, artificial chemicals, and toxins that could harm your health. Here at BrighteonStore.com, we believe your health and safety are our top priority. That's why we always go above and beyond to bring you the cleanest and highest quality nutritional supplements, superfoods, storable foods, preparedness items, and more. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Dr. Stella Emanuel, and I'm on Brighteon TV on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. And we really appreciate you for tuning in and watching us. Keep doing that. We thank you. God bless you.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for watching Brighteon. I just want to give a huge shout out to them for allowing the J6ers to come on and tell their story. Thank you, Brighteon. Go and support them in any way you can.
Freedom of speech is a basic human right that has been hard won and granted to all law-abiding Americans. As such, we should not take our freedom of speech and expression for granted. This is more important now than ever before, since world governments and the mainstream media often try to suppress those whose opinions differ from the so-called official narrative. Here at BrighteonStore.com, we are dedicated to fighting for every American's right to speak their mind without the fear of censorship or suppression. That's why every purchase you make at BrighteonStore.com supports our pro-liberty video sharing platform, Brighteon.com, so we can keep bringing you all the latest unrestricted videos mainstream media doesn't want you to see. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Hello, this is Dr. Stella Emanuel.
I'm Jim Bryce.
And we are on Brighteon. I'm on Brighteon at 4 p.m. on Wednesdays, and I would love for you to tune in to watch. We usually have Bible science and current events.
And every night, Monday through Friday, 8:30 Eastern Time, I give you the news update to help you understand the world around you. So guys, tune in to Brighteon TV Live.
Definitely.
A guest host here. He has been a guest on this program before. He is just, he does so many things. I asked him, what's your title? He's like, yeah, I'm the janitor. but he does so much. He contributes to the New American Magazine, and he's actually working on an article that we are going to talk about in just a moment. He also does projects for the John Birch Society. Are you like a research manager?
Research project manager.
So he's kind of at the forefront of figuring out what the evildoers are doing. And does just so much great work also with the Bulletin and, of course, with the New American Magazine, where I serve as senior editor. Now, Christian, great minds, or at least mediocre minds, must think alike, because when I asked you, what should we talk about? You're like, Governor Newsom. I was like, wow, I got that too. So Governor Newsom, the governor of California, has proposed a 28th Amendment, and it would raise the minimum age to purchase a gun to 21, universal background checks, reasonable waiting period for gun purchases, so that that crazy guy that wants to kill you, he'll have at least 3 or 4 days before you can arm yourself to protect yourself, and then banning the civilian purchase of assault weapons, by which they mean any weapons that they don't like. Christian, you zeroed in on something very important here, and that is the call for a con. So I want to roll a clip of Governor Newsom, and then we'll get back and get your response. So let's go ahead and air that clip.
Every time, it's the same. They tell us we can't stop these massacres.
They tell us we have to stand by and watch tragedy after tragedy unfold in our communities. They say we can't stop domestic terrorism without violating the Second Amendment, and that thoughts and prayers are the best we can do. I'm here to say that's a lie. In this country, we do have the power to change things, to reclaim our freedom from fear. Our ability to make a more perfect union is literally written into the Constitution. So today, I'm proposing the 28th Amendment to the United States Constitution to do just that. The 28th Amendment permanently enshrines four additions to the laws of our land. It raises the minimum age to purchase a firearm from 18 to 21, because if you can't buy a beer, you shouldn't be able to buy a gun. It mandates universal background checks to prevent truly dangerous people from purchasing a gun that can be used in a crime. It institutes reasonable waiting periods for all gun purchases, and it bans civilians from buying assault rifles, those weapons of war our founding fathers never foresaw. This will guarantee states as well the ability to enact common sense gun safety laws, while leaving the Second Amendment intact and respecting America's gun-owning tradition. The 28th locks in the common sense constitutional protections that Democrats, Republicans, independents, and gun owners overwhelmingly support. And it ensures NRA-owned politicians can never strip those protections away. This fight won't be easy, and it certainly won't be fast. Convening a constitutional convention requires two-thirds of the states to call for this. California will be the first. But that's just the beginning. Join us by going to campaignfordemocracy.com and signing the petition. To protect our communities and protect our freedom, support the 28th.
Wow, 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 wow. So Governor Newsom, one of the most radical left-wing extremists, wants a constitutional convention. We were told this was something for conservatives to rein in the unchecked liberals, Christian. What's going on?
That's right. Mark Levin and Mark Meckler and Michael Ferris have all said that it's Hillary Clinton, it's George Soros, it's Common Cause, it's the left that's trying to stop a constitutional, what they call Convention of States, Article 5 convention for proposing amendments. And now here you have Governor Gavin Newsom. You heard it straight from the horse's mouth. And he actually calls it a constitutional convention, one that's applied for by two-thirds of the states applying to Congress to call the convention. And he wants California, like he said in that video clip, to be the first state to enact this. And he would be right if California does apply for the convention for a gun control amendment to the Constitution, for all the radical stuff he said before. They would be the first state if they made that application. States like Hawaii had in 2012, they had a resolution in their legislature. It didn't go anywhere. It was defeated, fortunately. But the radical Hawaii Marxist Democrats over there, they proposed a resolution requesting Congress to call a constitutional convention where, among several different provisions that were nuts, like constitutionalizing Obamacare, they would have actually called for a straight-up repeal of the Second Amendment. And the late Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens, he passed away in 2019, but in 2018, right before he passed away, he wrote an op-ed in the New York Times where he literally just said, it's just time we demand a repeal of the Second Amendment. So now it looks like Governor Newsom has heeded that call, and he's probably listened to what Mark Meckler and others have said about a convention, and now he's using that same supposed tool of the right to rein in the federal government to actually increase and expand the size of government like we've never seen before.
But Mark Meckler and Mark Levin said this was going to guarantee that we could rein in the federal government and they'd never be able to touch our Second Amendment. Christian, I have a theory, and you and I didn't talk about this beforehand. I would love to get your response to this. Because back in the 1970s, when they wanted to overthrow our Constitution, they were using liberals. And they had a bunch of liberals and a bunch of Democrats advocating for a constitutional convention. They had new constitutions written. They were ready to go. And that went exactly nowhere because conservatives weren't on board. Conservatives still basically controlled most of the states. They weren't on board with this. And so they had to repackage this. And so, you know, along comes Mark Meckler with his, you know, conservative buddies, allegedly. And they failed again, right? They've lost, what did they lose? Six out of six battles so far this year. It's about to be rescinded in Alabama. I mean, they are just getting black and blue. I mean, it's looking like total fools trying to pretend like the John Birch Society doesn't exist, and yet they're stopping us everywhere. Amazing. So my theory is they finally realized they're never going to fool enough conservatives, thanks to the efforts of people like you. And so now they're saying, all right, let's go back to our liberal strategy. We'll just steal enough states and steal enough elections to be able to use liberals to get the con through. What do you think? Am I being too conspiratorial here?
No, I don't think you're being conspiratorial at all. You're being you're exactly correct. In the book was a Between Two Ages that was written by Zbigniew Brzezinski. He called for a national constitutional convention by either the 200th anniversary of the country, so 1976, because the book was published before that, or by the 200th anniversary of the ratification of the Constitution, 1789. So that would have been 1989. It didn't happen then, but he called for a national constitutional convention to update America's constitution. The Ford Foundation, they funded the movement for a new constitution in the 70s as well, the New States of America Constitution. These things went nowhere. They were seen for what they were, radical, outlandish proposals. And it was at that same very time, the late 1970s, just as the ERA is starting to dwindle in the late 70s, was when they started to make the movement for a constitutional convention under the guise of wanting a balanced budget amendment out of the Constitution. And that's been the call of conservatives, so-called, since the late 70s, early 80s, to get a con under the excuse, oh, we need to balance the budget. And now people like Mark Levin and Meckler and Ferris are saying, we need the they've renamed it a convention of states because, thanks to the efforts of the John Birch Society and others, we have poo-pooed, so to speak, the term constitutional convention, and they've decided to rename it something else, convention of states. But now we're seeing, this past year, we've seen in states like Maine and New Hampshire, the convention of states organization working together with COS, the convention of states organization working together with Wolfpack, which is a liberal organization that wants a convention for the ostensive purposes, literally gutting the First Amendment to overturn the Citizens United Supreme Court case. So we're seeing a convergence of left and right that wants a con. And like you pointed out, Alex, this year, COS took a licking. They were defeated in not just in committee, but they were defeated on the floor in the wholesale legislatures with Republican-dominated legislatures. So they were defeated in South Dakota, Wyoming, Iowa. I mean, huge, embarrassing defeats. Even in Texas, a state that once Governor Abbott once touted the convention of states as one of his main agendas, this year they had a resolution that which would have extended the sunset clause on their convention of states resolution from 2017, because they passed the convention of states resolution in that year, but they also passed another bill saying any Article 5 resolution expires within 7 years if the convention hasn't happened by then. And the seven-year mark would be 2025. They had the bill. Mark Meckler was lobbying in Texas, but thanks to the hard work of JBS members there, we killed that from passing in the regular session. There is a possibility that the governor, if he wants to pull a Governor Newsom, if Governor Abbott chooses, they could call the special session and try to push it there again. But hopefully that won't happen. But as far as the session goes, the regular session, we defeated COS even in Mark Meckler's home state of, well, his adopted home state of Texas, because his real home state, California, actually is joining him with Governor Newsom.
Oh, man. It's such a crazy story. You can't make this kind of stuff up in politics. But, I want to say most of the people that I've met who are promoting the COS, they're good, decent, honorable Americans, and they're nice people. But Mark Meckler is something else entirely. I've heard him lying. I mean, knowingly lying. I mean, this is a guy who's saying things that are not true, knowing full well they're not true. And whenever you see something like that, that's a big red flag. And so I think finally people are starting to get this. People are starting to understand this. But Christian, there are probably some folks watching us right now who don't understand. Maybe they've heard Mark Meckler on some show that they trust, maybe Mark Levin. And they're thinking, well, I thought we were going to restrain the federal government with the Constitutional Convention. We're down to just 5 or 6 minutes left. But give folks an understanding of why this is. I think Governor Newsom helped explain why this is so dangerous. If crazy liberals who want to take away our guns think we should have a con to do that, that's obviously a big danger. But what are some of the threats here to our Constitution, to our liberties? What's the risk?
Well, it's important to know that all the 27 amendments that we do have in the Constitution, including the Bill of Rights, all of those came out of proposals from Congress that passed 2/3 of the House, 2/3 of the U.S. Senate, then ratified by 3/4 of the states. This idea of having a convention, it's never been successfully done before. There have been applications, but there's never been enough where Congress said, okay, there's enough applications here, 2/3 of the states, so we're going to call a convention. And that's a good thing that there hasn't been enough calls yet, because if there was such a convention, it opens up the entire Constitution. Article 5 is extremely vague about the convention itself. It's never happened before. And the states aren't going to control the process like Mark Meckler repeatedly says. He makes it sound like the state legislators are going to be the delegates. That's why he even calls it a convention of states. But the term convention of states is not in Article 5. And nowhere in Article 5 does it say the delegates will be legislators. In fact, there have been bills proposed in Congress, like the Federal Constitutional Convention Procedures Act of 1973, passed the Senate, not the House. And it proposed that the representation at a convention would be made up similarly to the Electoral College in the House and Senate, where you have by population and a few extra delegates determined, you know, for one state as well. So you'd have like 535 delegates at like the House and Senate, like the Electoral College total number. And so basically states like California and Texas would overpower states like Wyoming and South Dakota in terms of the representation. So it won't be one state, one vote. Meckler says it will be, but nothing guarantees that that's the case. And this is the vehicle where you can get a whole new constitution. Meckler and the supporters of an Article 5 convention on the conservative side, so-called, they'll say about Newsom probably, oh, well, he can propose all he wants, but you're not going to find 3/4 of the states that will ratify, because that's always the linchpin. Now, that's the safeguard. 3/4 of the states would never ratify a radical amendment. Really? Like the 16th Amendment, the progressive income tax, the 17th Amendment, which stole from the states the ability to reign in the federal government by having essentially ambassadors who represent the will of the state government. Now it's elected at large. Yeah. And not just that. At the original convention in Philadelphia, they changed the method of ratification from all states required in under Article 13 of the Articles of Confederation to make changes permanent to the Articles of Confederation. They changed it to Article 7 of the U.S. Constitution, which said that only the special conventions in 9 of the states out of the 13 at the time were necessary to adopt this Constitution, and that's exactly what happened. The Constitution that we have today, as great as it is, was only officially ratified without the approval of states like Rhode Island and North Carolina. They did eventually approve it. By the time they approved it, it was already the Constitution. So we have a convention today. The same historical precedent applies. They could again propose a whole new Constitution and say, this Constitution isn't bound by whatever Article 5 says. It's bound by its own new method of ratification included in the text of our new Constitution.
Yeah, and that might be 50% of votes plus one. You stuff the ballots in California, you stuff the ballots in Detroit, you stuff the ballots in Philadelphia, New York, and presto, we've got a new Constitution. Say goodbye to your Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Say goodbye to your free speech, your religious liberty.
In the spirit of democracy, we could have a national referendum to determine if a new Constitution or set of amendments is ratified. And
that's what Newsom actually said. I mean, the whole thing is called a convention for democracy.
Campaign for democracy.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
So you look at 2020 and look at 2022. Can we really trust nationwide results? That's up to you to decide if you want to trust that to ratify amendments and potentially a new constitution to the U.S.
Yeah, folks, the threat is absolutely enormous. And, you know, I mentioned the dishonesty before, and you folks who watch regularly, you know that I am a really nice guy. I almost never have mean things to say about people, you know, even the people that I kind of take little digs at and stuff. It's just, you know, in good fun and friendliness. But when we're dealing with the COS people, there's an amount of dishonesty that I've never seen from an allegedly conservative movement. And Christian and I both know this. We have been approached by legislators from all across the country, and it's the same story every time. I got all these petitions from Convention of States people. I called some of these people. They said, I never heard of a Convention of States. I would never support a Convention of States. What kind of thing is this? And we've got those videos, but you can see them online. I interviewed Representative Dorothy Moon, who's now the chair of the Idaho Republican Party. This was in 2016. She said, some of the people who were sending me these petitions were birchers. I know they're my friends. They don't support this crazy stuff. And so she called them, and they said, no, I didn't do that. Same thing with multiple lawmakers that you have interviewed, multiple lawmakers since then that I have interviewed. So folks, there's just fraud and deception all over the place here. And we're only just scratching the surface. We're out of time, Christian, but This is just the tip of the iceberg. This is such a dangerous agenda. And folks, right now, you know, the Constitution may not be perfect. I think it's very good, but it may not be perfect. But right now, we're in the right. All this crazy stuff that the federal government's doing is unconstitutional. So we still have the supreme law of the land on our side, and we have something to go back to. If they manage to throw it in the trash, it's all over. Christian, we're down to about 30 seconds. Tell the folks how to learn more about these issues. You're writing an article right now for The New American. How do people find that?
Well, the article will be published later today. If not, tomorrow morning, check thenewamerican.com. And for more information about the ConCon issue, Article 5 Convention, jbs.org. And then click on the action alerts, the take action alerts on the top left corner there. And then you'll find Stop a Constitutional Convention. Click on that or jbs.org/ConCon. And you'll find there, there's even a tab on the left for legislator testimonies. It has all the interviews that the both of us have done for the New American and the John Birch Society, talking to these very legislators who were saying just what you said a moment ago.
Well, Christian, you are a great American. Thank you so much for the hard work you have been doing on this issue. And I think a lot of people think, oh, that's an obscure issue. That's not like a sexy issue that we all need to jump on. But it is one of those existential threats to our republic and to our freedom. And so even though, you know, I love a lot of the people that have gotten sucked up into this movement, we must stand against it. And thank you so much, Christian. All right, folks, we are just about out of time. But I want to thank you so much for tuning in to the Sentinel Report. It's an honor and a joy and a privilege to be able to speak with you every day. If you're one of those people who loves this show but doesn't need necessarily more pillows or more, you know, the support for our advertisers, there's another way you can support us. If you go to franksocial.com, that's franksocial.com/you/Alex Newman, you can follow me on Frank Social. We got 32,000 something followers there. We'd love it if you join us there. And if you enjoy this content, if you want to support us, for $3 a month, you can sign up, support us, and that helps keep us on the air. That helps pay the people who make this happen. We can continue producing the high-quality journalism that you have come to rely upon. Thank you so much for watching once again. I am Alex Newman. This is the Sentinel Report. Until next time, God bless you all.
You're watching.